Log Talk Radio.
Once again, it's on!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. You got Dev, Jill, Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
Give it to you. How you want it in a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with them topics. Solar lights and rebels. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five show on primetime. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the War Room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys diversified and educated.
We get filled in. Happy Thursday, good people. And welcome to another edition of the best Marshall Faulkins sports show in the galaxy. Yeah, I said the galaxy. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports, of course. Your boys are in the building. I'm Devin McMillan, and at the War Room Roundtable with me, as usual, is Doc Ock Bayon, Jimmy the Blueprint Williams, Paul P.J. Johnson, and B. Austin the Lemming Slayer. Tonight, we're going to discuss money handshakes, the pimps and hoes of college athletics. But in the first hour, we're going to touch on the NCAA National Championship game, some stories in the NBA, the NFL court hearing, and observations from opening week in the MLB. As usual, we want to hear from you guys tonight, so join in the conversation when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. The number is 323-410-0012. The JW Philly Realty chat room is open right now on blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, so get in there and scream at us as well. Right now, we want to congratulate Monique Turman for winning our first annual March Madness Bracket Manager Challenge. Monique and two people of her choice will be traveling all the way from D.C. to be in the house tomorrow night at the 76ers-Raptors game at the Wells Fargo Center in Philly. So have fun on us, Monique, but the gas and meals are on you. Thanks to everybody else who participated in the Bracket Challenge. Keep listening and checking our Facebook and Twitter pages for future contests and giveaways. We're going to shower you guys with prizes this year, but we're definitely going to be biased toward listeners of the show. So keep listening and spread the word. Now that we got all that out the way, it's time for these birthdays.
My birthday! Yay!
Birthdays are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon in Fort Washington, Maryland. The first birthday we got tonight, fellas, is Richard James Waters, better known as Ricky Waters. He turns 42
My
today.
Birthday. Yay!
Jimmy, what you think of when you think of Ricky Waters?
For who? For what? That's the first thing I think of. Then I think of a young man who was very talented and who used to get major yards just by falling forward.
Good. He used to run almost in the style of Roger Craig with his knees up in the air trying to kick people off of him. Bam, what you think of when you think of Ricky Waters?
Yo, Ricky Waters was nice with the 49ers, and then he was nice with the Eagles. Then all of a sudden, like, he just disappeared, man. It's crazy how NFL running backs are.
All of a sudden, he wasn't nice no more?
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, Ricky, he did fall off all of a sudden. But like you said, that's that shelf life of an NFL running back. You never know when it's going to be done. So our second birthday, actually another NFL running back, he is Atim Kiambu Hakeem A. Barber, better known as Tiki Barber. Giz was that. Kill. Tiki Barber turns 36.
My birthday. Yay!
Yo, first of all, I didn't know his name was that long and intricate. second of all, you know, he's making a comeback, which is interesting. And you hear how, you know, I guess former players that played with him are saying, yo, dude wasn't a great leader. That's why he won a Super Bowl without him. He's divisive, this, that, and the other. So, yeah, a lot of controversy around. Oh, then he left his wife, who was pregnant, for a younger lady, too. So a lot of controversy around Tiki. Great smile, though.
Yeah, Tiki, that comeback, that comeback, that ain't going to work, man. He desperate. He's trying to get some dough. So it's either that or a government job, and they about to shut down too. So I don't know what Tiki going to do for child support. Jimmy, Tiki Barber.
Yo, and I think of Tiki, I think of Aronde Barber, you know, the twins, and how Aronde got a chip and Tiki don't. And also I think of a slimy young man. He seems to be slimy to me. Everybody that like knows the guy, even cats that work with him at NBC describe him as, like, you know, being sort of a slimy dude and whatever. Why are you coming back? You can't produce, yo. FOH.
Shouldn't have left when he left. I don't know what that was about. He waited till like he was late in his career to actually peak and stop fumbling, and then he gonna leave and bounce. They won a Super Bowl without him after he talked a whole bunch of trash about the team, and now he's feeling stupid because he's in a situation. It's not gonna work. All right, so of course, if it's Tiki Barber's birthday, then it has to be one Jamail Oronde Barber, better known as just Rondé Barber. Of course, he turns 36 today.
My birthday, yay!
Well, Jimmy, what about Tiki's other half?
No, when I think of a Rondé Barber, I think of Tiki Barber, his twin brother. It's like, no. I think of, you know, an above-average quarterback, and I also think that he may get in the Hall of Fame just based upon playing Donovan F. McNabb all the time.
B. Austin, Rondé Barber, what you got to say about Rondé?
Much like my esteemed colleague, the Blueprint, a.k.a. Spike Tarantino, just mentioned, it would seem that Rondé Barber is Donovan McNabb's greatest receiver.
he put him in the hall.
Strictly.
Better than he stinks to that trash. Kill Rondé Barber.
Yo, solid corner in that that famous Tampa 2. And the crazy thing about it, the main highlights that step out to me, I think it was a game they're playing the Eagles. And he jumped two Donovan McNabb routes for picks, looking like one of his better receivers. Those are like the main highlights that stand out.
Funny that you talk about him jumping routes for picks.
He's got 10 touchdowns, and like four of them are off Donovan McNabb. Somebody check that stat. I may be wrong,
funny.
But I'm pretty sure.
You're like, Bart,
he's
I may
not
be
a
wrong.
10, he's not a 10-touchdown type talent.
That's what I was about to say. Since Akil just talked about jumping routes, I actually think Rondé Barber is the biggest opportunist the defense have ever seen. Because I think he's a little bit overrated, but you can't really argue with his numbers and his production. So, you know, everybody else is going to think he's all that. But I think he's a bit of a looky-loo. And if you had a smart quarterback, you probably could beat Rondé a lot. But, you know, the person
who's like three smart quarterbacks in the league, fam.
Yeah, so the person who's responsible for his ticket to the Hall of Fame isn't that bright, so I'm expecting a little too
damn
much.
Damn!
All right, so our last birthday is one Anthony Tony Drew Dorsett, better known as Tony Dorsett, turns 57 today.
Yay!
Kill, what's up with your Hall of Fame cowboy?
Yeah, man, with him being I guess the second greatest running back in Cowboys history. He actually paved the way for Emmitt, number 33. And if you notice at those, what's it called, the Heisman Trophy events, yo, dude looks really young, man. He doesn't look 57.
You're going to make a comeback like T.
In the words of PJ, he got that noni juice.
Mm-hmm. For real.
By the way, Tony Dorsett better than Emmitt. B. Austin, what you got on Tony?
If he wasn't a cowboy, I would have liked him, and he's definitely better, light years better than Emmitt Smith. Holla.
Give him light years.
Light years, huh? Yo, when I think of Tony Dorsett, I think of that long ass run he had on Monday Night Football. I think it was like 99 yards.
Yo,
yeah,
that
was a crazy.
Because was that Darryl Green trying to chase him down or something? I'm thinking
it was
that
against Minnesota. It was against Minnesota.
You're right. It was Minnesota.
Darryl Green ran him down.
I might be thinking about the play when Darryl Green actually ran him down.
I'm about to say, Darryl Green so fast, he might have came on the field even though it was Minnesota and tried to chase him down. but that was a long run. And he was also a beast at Pitt. Like, you know, it's funny. When you mention the top running backs, he never gets mentioned. He got, like, overlooked because of all the people that came, like, after him. But he was a hell of a running back.
Yeah, and he better than the Pitt basketball team, too. That's the birthdays for the day. Jimmy going to let y'all know what's been happening this week while y'all been on the grind.
Yeah, what's happening while you were on the grind, which is brought to you by Philadelphia Auto Designs. There's so much news going on. I don't really know where to start, but let's start with my man Bubba Chuck, a.k.a. Allen Iverson. You guys hear the story about AI getting his Lamborghini impounded in Atlanta?
Yeah, I heard about that.
what's your thoughts on that?
I'm like, you know, he was in Philly for 10 years. I'm like, what's new? And they say something like he got pulled over, the dealer tags were, like, expired in 2009.
Yo, my man had the dealer tags from 2009 on his whip.
First of all,
come on,
man.
And then
I'm talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice. Practice.
Yo, he hopped out. He got pulled over. He hopped out the Lambo because he was on the side on the passenger and just hopped into the road that was behind him and just let him take it.
And you know,
yo,
you know both of them
check.
Were his.
He thinks another check. He thinks another check is coming.
Yeah.
Why
yo,
AI
come
can't
on.
Get a run?
Yo, my word for AI is this, man.
Stay away from the crack. Which,
like, yo, why are you still drawing, fam?
You can't get a run. You know,
you
still up to no good. Kill, you hear about the story, Kill?
Yeah, I heard about it. And I was, my thing is, I'm just hoping that 4 years from now, you know, we don't hear that AI has blown all his money. I mean, that's what I'm hoping. That he just
4 years?
Killed.
How about 4 weeks?
I thought
we heard that last year.
know,
4 years?
Right?
How about 4 weeks?
Yo, my prediction is this. I believe within the next 3 years, you can go to your local Subway and AI will be a sandwich artist. Yo,
man,
next story real quick.
My man.
Yo, next story. Yo, the Giants and Dodgers had a game in which a Giants fan was beaten at Dodger Stadium, and they saying now he may have brain damage. Crazy. Dev, you hear about this story?
Yeah, that's crazy because I thought about that story all week because if it happened in Philly, it would have been a much bigger deal. You know what I'm saying? It would have been national news.
Absolutely.
Every minute of the day.
Yo, they'd have pulled
the
National Guard out for us.
25. I know, right? but yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I can imagine how it probably went down because it happened in the parking lot of Dodger Stadium. So that the Dodgers won, they probably were popping off at him, and then he probably reminded them that we're the champs. They took that wrong and just beat him down. Like, I just made that up.
Yo,
I'm sure that happened.
I know. We all love our sports teams, yo, but I couldn't see, you know, getting struck or striking another over a sports argument like that. Like, seriously, though, at the end of the day, the Giants and Dodgers have a bunch of millionaires playing the game who don't give a damn about the fact that you put this man in the hospital, now you're going to prison.
You wouldn't even
That's
shake your hand if ran by and put your hand out.
You know what I'm saying? Kill, what do you think about the story?
Yo, that's crazy, man. The thing is, like, yo, the Dodgers aren't cutting you a check, and neither are the Giants. I mean, why cats got to come to blows over something
exactly.
that the team doesn't even acknowledge them for? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Austin, anything you want to say about this?
Yo, as my homie Dev said, if it had happened in the state of Pennsylvania, in the eastern area, they'd have called in the National Guard, and they'd arrested at least a million people.
Damn. Yeah, that's a sad story. Next thing I want to talk about, like I said, I got tons of stories. Let's talk about Mike Vrabel. This young man was arrested for stealing alcohol from a casino deli. Yo, this is one of the latest in all the stories you hear about the NFL players, you know, getting themselves in trouble with the law. Something got to happen, yo. These cats is out of pocket, man.
Hey,
yo, what's your thoughts on this? What's your thoughts on this, Dr. Bay?
Yo, I think we need to do another segment of Athletes Blowing Money Fast, part two, because, yo, these cats are getting crazy.
Yo, well, some of these cats not even blowing money. They just know how to stay out of trouble, yo. Like, they need something to occupy their time.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I talked about it last week about the police blotter blotting because these guys don't have OTAs to go to. So you got Mike Vrabel and casinos stealing alcohol. Like, yo, aren't you rich, man? I mean, I know you got to save money for the lockout and everything, but you going to go into the deli of the casino and steal some bottles.
Yeah, what's that about, man? Come on, man. Austin, what you got to say about this, man?
Yo, this reminds me of our country's esteemed special forces operators. Like, when they are not somewhere in the world putting it down, yo, they're adrenaline junkies, so they don't have anything better to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, Mike Vrabel, come on, fam.
So what you're telling me is with the combination of NFL lockout and then the government lockout, it's going to get crazy around the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to get real with this.
Exactly.
It's going to get real.
Yo, next thing I want to talk about, Amari, a.k.a. Stat, a.k.a. the Knicks are back, he calls Pau Gasol soft, and Andrew Bynum responds on Twitter. What do you guys think about this?
I think Pau Gasol is soft. He nice. I've been arguing with people about this all week. Soft doesn't mean you're not nice. I mean, it's basically almost European basketball player culture to be a little bit soft. The ones who come over and they're not soft, we're praising them because they're so different. But Powell's nice. He's nicer than Amari. He got major games. He's a little soft in the pants a little bit. He's soft.
Yeah, but the only thing I saw with this is who it was coming from. Like, Amari hasn't been known to be a tough player either. I remember he had a little soft label on him when he was in Phoenix, that is.
I don't think he's soft. I just think he's lazy and he's a loser. But
yeah, lazy makes you seem soft, and I agree, because if you look at Amari, for all the game he has, the stats in which he doesn't, like, really compete as high as he should, you know, are hustle stats, and that's, like you said, goes back to being lazy. He has natural talent, but, you know, he's lazy.
He should average at least 13 boards a game, 14.
You know, with his athleticism and build, no rainbow, he should be putting up 13, 14 boards a game, easy.
And four blocks.
Yep.
I don't know about lazy meaning. You, I don't know about lazy meaning you soft, because the hardest dude in the league, former hardest dude in the league, was Derek Coleman, and he was lazy as the day is long. But I never called him soft.
Yo, Derek Coleman only played when it was a contract season. Other than that, he barely played.
Yo, bump
you,
that.
You,
Derek
you
Coleman.
He's not
Derek
soft
Coleman.
Derek Coleman's a thug.
Derek Coleman wore Dickie suits and chuckers, and y'all know what that means.
Yo, being soft on the court and off the court are two different things, no rainbow. You know what I mean? So, I mean, but what do you think about Bynum taking his teammates' defense and jumping on Twitter and coming right back at the ball?
I mean, he's supposed to do that. They're teammates. I'm not even mad at that. But Twitter e-gangster and then Twitter banging is slow-mo.
Hey, Jimmy, but you know this, because Ron Artest came to his defense, too, and Ron Artest didn't deny that Powell was soft. He just said, Powell don't need to be hard. He got us to have his back. So he didn't actually say Powell ain't soft. But Powell nice. He nicer than Amari. But so what? He got
It is what it is.
So, gentlemen, is it a consensus that Powell is better than Stat?
Yo, I believe so.
I think it depends on the situation. Like in LA, I think in LA, Powell fits LA much better than Amari would ever would. But how the Knicks got, I guess, better this year, I don't know if you flip flop Powell and Amari.
Yeah.
I don't know if
Powell's
the Knicks
not
make
doing
that same jump.
You're right. Powell's not doing that as the number one guy. As the Grizzlies.
Well, I mean, Powell did put up numbers as number one guy in Memphis, but I think that Powell couldn't play in a system where there's no defense.
He didn't make the team that much better, though. We can't have, Amari didn't have, a bunch of all-stars around
him.
Let me ask you a question.
Here's how I decide this. If you have Powell there and Amari there, and you're picking your team, you have nobody in your team, and those are, you know, the guys available, who are you taking?
That's a good
black
question.
Guy.
Can't answer it in 3 seconds.
Yo, to build around, right away with nobody else.
Amari.
I think I could win with more garbage players than I can with Powell. Because remember, I was proving last year, because all the dudes that he's playing with, winning with this year,
Jimmy was saying at the trade deadline to trade them all for Carmelo, so they must ain't been that good.
Look at this, though. I mean, that now is looking like, now Amari's there, and the other guys are still winning, and Amari's not. So maybe it's not Amari. Let's think about it that way. Maybe it's not Amar. Maybe it's not Stat. Maybe the key to all of it was Raymond Felton. Next, let's move on. Let's talk about your man LeBron Ramon James and Gloria, his mother. LeBron's mom got arrested on a misdemeanor assault charge. This is not her first brush with the law. You know that LeBron's mom also got arrested in 06 on a Dewey charge in Ohio. That's DUI for those who don't know. I was talking on Twitter to some of the imaginary players, and they were saying it's crazy because the playoffs are coming and she's back in trouble again. What's up with her getting in trouble during crunch time of the season? So my man need to concentrate.
She always want to be on my man's mind while he's supposed to be, playing at his highest level. What did she do?
She couldn't
like,
do this in week one,
yeah? Somebody at a hotel?
Yeah, what happened is the valet dude was late bringing her car back, and this is about at 4:25 in the morning, today, basically. This is all today. The valet dude was late bringing her car back, and a bunch of witnesses that were out there confirmed what the valet guy said, and she was, like, screaming at him. She bumped him, and then she hit him for bringing her car back. Taking too long to bring her car back.
Delonte need to handle his stable, man.
Yo, his mom needs a handler. Ryan needs to buy his mom a handler to just manage her and keep her off the streets.
She's
going
to
mom. Delonte's not laying the pipe.
Yeah, she might have been menstruating or something. I don't know. But
yo, why all the time during that most crucial time in the season, though? What's up with that?
She wants attention, man. That's attention she...
Yeah, my man need to concentrate, man. Y'all mean the season? The job about to start. Yo, last story I want to talk about real quick. I know you guys may not have watched the women's final, college basketball final, although they did score more than the boys. But the young lady, Skylar Diggins, right? She became the star of the Rockets tournament.
Excuse me.
she became a star throughout this tournament. They say searches of her name have went up over like 3,000%. Her Twitter followers went from like 6,000 to like 83,000. And she's getting like all kinds of tweets from celebrities like wishing her luck and Lil Wayne calling her his wife. And they were saying that her stock is like so high right now that, you know, even Madison Avenue is drooling over her. But here's the thing. She still has 2 years left.
Lil Wayne
plays women's college ball, she really can't capitalize.
Lil Wayne is the front runner of this dude I know. He trying to get in on everything. Lil Wayne learned from the other Carter, man.
He learned from and camels are known to front run, as y'all said.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, camel. You know, that's how you keep his name high. But my thing is, how do you feel about considering that she's a woman? This changes everything. Now, you know, if she was a male and she was a sophomore and she had this kind of run, she would be able to capitalize right away. Being as though she played, you know, on the male side of the equation. But now that because she's a female, she has to play 2 more years when her stock probably is at an all-time high right this second.
Do they have a rule?
How would you feel about – now, how would you feel about women starting to leave the game early? I don't think they have a rule, but when you look at this, the overall perception, when you look at, like, especially our female athletes, it kind of hurts their brand to leave early. Part of that way they brand the women is – they brand them as student-athletes. Like, if you look at how they show Maya Moore throughout her career, they always showed her in the classroom. And, you know, part of their brand is education, where the men, they don't even care. They're just baboons out there to play basketball.
Brittany Griner is leaving early to go top 10 in the NBA draft.
I will not comment on Brittany Griner because I feel as though she's an amateur, because some things I want to say, but I'm going to be quiet.
Yeah,
she going to the circus for the giraffe act.
Brittany Griner is one of the most talented women's – the last women's basketball player I saw as talented as Brittany Griner was Chris Bosh. Anyway, those are the stories that happened while y'all were on the grind.
Chick. All right, y'all, y'all ready to pass that rock?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, if you're listening for the first time, pass the rock – is a little segment we do every week where all five of your hosts get to vent on anything in sports they want to vent on for that given week. If they don't have anything to vent on, they could either talk about their favorite headline or they could just pass off to a teammate. So I'm going to go ahead and inbound that joint to my man, Ak Bayon, so he can tell the world why.
Good evening, War Room family. I'll be brief. I'm just going to, you know, all that – I guess information we shared about the New York Knicks, I felt like myself and some of my generals, we neglected to give the Denver Nuggets their due respect in the midst of the Carmelo Anthony trade. I just wanted to let you know that the Denver Nuggets are 15-4 since the trade, and they have the third best record in the NBA since the trade. And a shout out to George Karl, who this time last year was fighting cancer and thought he wouldn't make it as a Denver Nuggets coach. So, that's about it, and I will pass that rock to Brad Anderson.
You said he was You said he was fighting Melo or cancer, or was Melo the cancer? All right, that was in bad taste. That was in bad taste, man. I don't got nothing to say, brothers. I'm not mad this week. So I'm gonna pass that rock. Who opened? Who won it?
Jimmy.
My man, Blue. Get at them.
I got a good brother. This week, right? I want to talk about baseball. So what's up, War Room? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint, a.k.a. Jim Shady. And this week, I want to talk about the baseball season, like I said. The season has started. My Phillies have looked okay. You know, they smacked the Mets today. But as I think about this season, I can't help but think about just how damn long it is. Pause. For why is it necessary to have over 160 games? Can anyone tell me? I understand how important numbers are. And in baseball, how shortening the season would have an effect on the numbers. But let's be serious. The season is way too long. Riddle me this. How is it humanly possible for players to care the same about game number 47 as they do for the season opener or game 175 in the playoffs for that matter? The answer is they don't. And as a fan of the sport, I feel the same way. It's hard to care about this entire season. Now, I don't dislike baseball. I actually love the game. In terms of watching sports live, there is nothing that compares to baseball. But there is no way anyone can convince me that during the 117th game, a team that is 70 games out of first place plays as hard as they can, or that they really care about game number 117 when they are 70 games out of first place. Football is partly great due to having only a 16-game schedule. Basketball also has a long season. But it's still half of what the baseball season is. When you juxtapose football with baseball, it's funny. Going on a 10-game losing streak in baseball is the equivalent of one loss in football. So that means your team can start 0-10, and it really means nothing. This makes it extremely difficult for me to watch games in the middle of the season. I mean, be honest with you. During the summer sometimes, I watch Big Brother or America's Best Dance Crew before I watch baseball. I mean, I'm not going to act like I never watch games in the middle of the season or that I watch anything before baseball. I mean, if someone gave me the chance to watch a Phillies game or a Cambodian midget sword fight match, I'll watch the Phillies game. I know there's no way baseball will shorten their season, but I just wanted to vent about how irritating this long season is for me. The baseball season just started last week, and I'm already waiting for the next season of Big Brother to start so I can have something to watch. Nice. And with that, I'm going to pass it to my man PJ on the wing.
Hey, yo, I don't know, because if the Phillies ain't playing, I might go for the Cambodian midget sword fight match. Especially if they, like, if they fighting for work, they might get it on. But, look, real quick, y'all, I'm going to just tell you. If I don't know nothing else, I know this. The egregious mismanagement by that retarded antelope Maverick Carter in conjunction with the that scallywag Project Tenement venereal smut of a mother, this will ultimately lead to the extinction of the West Akron dominant gorilla species known as LBJ. Y'all better listen to what I'm saying. Take heed before I leave. We'll all be on our knees praying. And with that, I throw a no-look bounce pass to my man Dev at the top of the key.
What up, people? This is Dev, and I just want to express my utter disdain for that masonry project masquerading as a championship basketball game on Monday night. Butler, and even UConn for that matter, but especially Butler, threw up so many bricks, that game should have aired on a DIY network. The Bricklayers Convention was the primary cause for a very bad Tuesday in my life for three distinct reasons. One, I was sleepy as a trucker on an all-night trip with no money for coffee for the whole day on Tuesday because I stayed up to watch that trash truck juice. Two, the final score lost me a tiebreaker in a bracket pool, bumping me from fourth to fifth place, thus knocking my winnings down from $225 to $100. Don't Marshall Faulk with my money. Three, as a former coach and current student of the game, I hate bad basketball. And with that, I take one hard dribble left, do a Kemba Walker jump back that puts my defender on his ass. I pause, look down, laugh, and point at that clown, pump fake just to get a help defender time to come over and contest, and pull up from 26 feet and hit a fadeaway all net at the buzzer while I scream, "Get off my court!" Walk over to the opposing team's bench and drink a cup of their Gatorade, gritting on them, all while my shooting hand is still in the air. Game. Blouses.
and the crowd goes wild.
Yo, that was mad dramatic, yo. But right now what I'm going to do is let everybody know how y'all can get in touch with us. You can check out our website at warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. You can become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. You can subscribe to and become a fan of our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about our show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours, All's Fair in Sports and War, on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so that you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, just dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is just like raising your hand, and who knows? The War Room professors just might call on ya. Anything going on in the chat room at all, fellas?
Talking about Derek Coleman, we mentioned him earlier, and the Joker in our chat room is talking about how Coleman just filed for bankruptcy last year, too. So you can add him to the list of athletes that blew that deal. And, you know, Derek Coleman was getting money.
He was stealing money. He started stealing money the last 5 years.
I see a part two coming up. Hang on,
man.
That's crazy. All right, real quick.
Basketball was just my hustle. Like the dice game, like the corner.
Let's jump into this national championship game that I was just talking about, this piece of trash of a game. But first, you know, I just want to congratulate Notre Dame's coach Mike Bray because he won AP Coach of the Year. What you guys think about that? Would he have been your choice? Not even because it's a lot of coaches. Like, do you think it's a bad choice? Are you mad at it?
I'm not mad at it because he's definitely up there. I wouldn't have personally picked him. I would have went with Fisher at Arizona State, although we know the NCAA doesn't like Fisher. But I don't think it's a bad choice at all.
San Diego?
Notre Dame has a
team. Yeah. You mean
Fisher
State.
I'm sorry.
From
San Diego State. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
San Diego State. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Fisher from the Fab Five.
Yeah.
Yo, I would have went with Steve Fisher. And it's funny that, you know, when playing at Howard, I actually had a chance to play against Delaware when Mike Bray was the coach at Delaware for 2 years. And they smashed us, 2 years in a row. So I guess I can say they have a great system. I mean, he's a pretty good coach, but it's interesting how you see coaches work their way up the ranks from either, you know, D2 schools or assistant coaches, and then make their way up to, like, you know, National Coach of the Year for Big East school.
Yo, coaches put they put work in. Yo, those dudes be like starting as ball boys. Yo, I can imagine like a coach's family. Like, you're never stable nowhere. Yo, they move like every 3 months.
Yo. Coaches become immigrants, even if they citizens, they become immigrants just by cleaning up the arena so that they can get into the. Yo,
they get the big contracts, them jokers been working for 15, 20 years, except for Kevin Ollie, who's getting ready to get something handed to him.
Funny that y'all say that because we're gonna talk about some coaches who turned down the chance to move up in a few minutes. But that's funny. He coached at Delaware.
Delaware, yeah, University of Delaware.
Okay. I'm about to say he went to State, was he? Delaware.
Nah. Yo, nobody makes it out to MEAC. Nobody makes it out to MEAC to like the big time.
I thought he was at Maryland Eastern Shore or something.
UMES.
Except for
Except for Butch, yo, shout out to Butch Beard, though.
Yeah, well, he played in the NBA, and he went down. He was like, that was like punishment. Like, yo, you need to coach a MEAC school.
Yeah,
right,
stop dissing the MEAC, yo. I'm messing with the MEAC.
I've given a lot of mine, except for the whole breakdown of it. But what's your thoughts of the championship game? PJ, what did you think of that?
I still got the farted face.
I think it speaks to the inferior talent.
Radnan stole my name. He just stole my cover.
My fault, brother.
It's cool, buddy. No, all I'm saying is this.
Let me
trash, guys. It was awful, man.
It's gone.
Yeah. Go ahead, B. What were you about to say?
It speaks to the level of play that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, and even last week on the show. I just think the level of play in D1 ball is down. I mean,
yeah.
I know you go to the tournament and you want to see the upsets, but then the Cinderellas get to the ball and then they play like that? You saying, Jimmy?
Here's the thing. Overall, I think the tournament was exciting, but that game was utter garbage. First off, all they do is launch threes. The three-point shot is ruined, college. Yo, that's all they do is
they
launch threes all game long.
They need to move it back to Timberland.
I'm going to teach the Lemmings what basketball really is about. The goal of the game, the strategy, is to get an easy shot. You utilize movement. You utilize your teammates. You utilize everything to get a high percentage shot. If your man is double teamed, then you kick out for a perimeter jumper. If you're in transition and you can't dunk or get all the way to the rack because the big dudes was leaking out in front of you, then you pull up for a jumper. The goal should not be to run a play to shoot from 22 feet.
It's all about percentages. You want to get the highest percentage shot at all times. Every possession.
They had that shoot to your hit. My bad. They had that shoot to your hit strategy going because they wouldn't stop.
Yo, that's crazy. In our chat room, the Joker just made a comment, and I think it's actually it's true, but it shows you where college basketball is. He said when he watches college basketball and you see a senior that's on the team, you automatically assume that he stinks. because if he was any good, he wouldn't be a senior. Yeah, and that's true,
that's
though. How true is that?
He either stinks or his family's rich. Either or.
That don't even matter no more. Look at the cats from Duke who come from families with money, and they're bouncing anyway. Kyrie Irving played like 36 minutes this season, and he's out.
Kyrie, he ain't from money.
He mad that he had to even come to college.
Yeah, he's mad, that's the new hustle, yo.
Yo, the Bull literally never played a game in his conference.
He didn't play.
He never played in the ACC? He never played an ACC game? Dang.
He never played an ACC team. They didn't play any in the tournament or anything. Yo, it's crazy.
Damn, I know Krzyzewski is salty. He probably put in a lot of work trying to recruit that young man. And he got about...
I think 36 minutes is high. I don't think that boy played 36 minutes of game time.
During that game, the national championship game, Butler made 3 2-point field goals the whole game.
Just three. Yep. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
And the thing about Butler is that you would have thought that wouldn't have happened to them considering they were there last year in the same game.
Right.
I mean, they played a better game against Duke last year. I'm just saying that's what was crazy to me.
And everybody looked at Butler like they were this cerebral team, and they just looked stupid on Monday night. They really looked stupid.
Y'all gonna think I'm crazy. Yo, the girls look, but the girls' game was way better than the boys' game. And I don't even watch women's college basketball. I happen to be on. I'm like, yo, they better than the boys.
No, but if you think about it, if you're looking from a fundamental standpoint, women's basketball is always better than men's basketball.
They don't have to.
I'm gonna speak to the coaches right now. If your game looks like you were playing NBA Live with your homies, you're a bad coach.
Dribble.
You should go shoot yourself. You should. Double dribble. They didn't even pay attention to the 3-point line like that.
They just shot him from the base. Remember in double dribble, you could shoot him from the baseline though. The baseline.
Yeah, right in the corner. You fall out the corner, and it make it sound like a bomb's going off. Boom.
Yeah.
Yo, but my thing is like the you're right that the women is a lot better in terms of like the fundamentals, but they also had star power going for them this past week. And as I was watching, I was like, yo, this is honestly better than the boys, because that one chick on Texas Tech looked like a young
Maya
Barkley. She was killing
them.
Maya Moore ain't played in the week, champ. What are you talking about? I'm talking
about
the championship game.
About women's basketball.
Oh, that's all you know.
All I know is Maya Moore and Brittany Griner.
Yeah,
they were actually disappointed though that Stanford and Connecticut didn't make it, because it would have been the rematch from the only team that beat UConn, you know.
Yeah.
But
the street.
Can't win them all. Speaking of UConn, where do you fellas like? If you look at his resume, he has a resume ranks amongst the all-time greats, but you don't really hear his name too much. So where do you guys put Jim Calhoun? Amongst the greats.
He's already a Hoffer.
Yeah, he is a Hoffer. He's one of those Hoffers that
Hall of Famer.
Respect. Bam, where you put Calhoun in the whole great coaches conversation?
Well, I mean, he's definitely top, I guess, 1-2%. I mean, I'd say he's better than Bobby Knight. Is he better than Coach K? What'd you say?
I said in Bobby Knight, Coach K. This is like who they compare all the modern day coaches to.
Yeah, he's obviously not better than Witten. He might be on par with Coach K. I mean, to be honest.
In my opinion, he may be ahead of Coach K, because UConn doesn't get the players Duke does. Let's be honest. In Indiana, when Bob Knight was there, he didn't get the kind of players Duke does. Coach K is that dude, but don't get it twisted. In terms of the modern day coaches who are considered great, he has had the best talent. He's had the most McDonald's players out of all of them. Even his incoming class of McDonald's players, UConn don't have none. What'd you say?
College, that's actually a part of it, though. Recruiting is a big part of, you know.
Oh, no, I get that. But what I'm saying is these guys win with less, is what I'm saying.
No,
I understand what you're saying.
Calhoun made that program from scratch. UConn was
exactly
Calhoun got.
Yeah, Calhoun came from Northeastern. And you think about it, Calhoun has 3 championships, and the only other coaches that have 3 championships are Krzyzewski, Bob Knight, Wooden, and I think Adolph Rupp. So
yeah,
really, he's in a class with only 4 people that even have 3 championships.
But what are you guys going to say when they take this championship away? Because you know he was getting his senator on, getting his trussle on. They made the problem with UConn winning this game is next year it'll probably be taken down anyway.
But you know what, Jim? I heard Jay Billis talking the other day, and I kind of agree with him. Like, okay, the dude, what's the name of the cat that they got in trouble for recruiting? He never even played for UConn. They got in trouble with him and a manager. So does that really change the stuff that Calhoun's done? Even if they take the banner down.
Yeah,
to me,
it's a joke anyway. Like, the NCAA is a joke. Like, they took the Heisman from Reggie Bush. So what? We still remember Reggie Bush as the Heisman winner. You can't remove those memories. So it's a joke anyway.
And apparently, Wooden had a similar situation with the recruit, too. Wooden had a situation with a recruit, too, back in his day that you never hear people talking about. So I think all the coaches, I mean, you know, I don't know if anybody is clean. They make
it's
Coach
no
K out the
way
people,
you can tell me that John Wooden wasn't giving cats dough or doing something. Yo, Kareem came from, like, Brooklyn. Why would he go across the country to play for Wooden? All the schools he had to bypass to get
to
UCLA.
He wanted to be a quip. Then got on his
feet. He got recruited by Tukey.
Millis also.
Yo, you know what, though?
Like, if you got the nerve to call Calhoun a cheater, and, you know, then you should have the nerve to call Wooden a cheater. He was like, and I would never do that. So, you know, if that's what you're thinking, I mean, that stuff, everybody has a little blip on the recruiting thing, because the rules are so tight and stupid, everybody's going, like, you know, scrape up against the rule here and there. But I think he's got to be in the top 5 or 6, man. He got to be.
I wonder what Duke Vitale
would say. Where do y'all put, like, Roy Williams
at?
Where do y'all put people like Roy Williams at, who, like, won a title with Kansas and with North Carolina?
I give him props for being a great coach, but especially in the North
Better
Carolina.
Better talent, though.
He kind of he came into North Carolina with a ready-made program. I mean, right, I'm talking about title ready-made, like they were ready to go ahead and win it. But I mean, he's a great coach. I don't put him in that top tier.
I don't know. I think if he wins one more, you may have to, because even though the program was ready-made, and I do agree, sometimes that's where it's hardest to win because the expectations are there.
Underachieved. A lot of his Kansas teams underachieved, though. A lot of times.
That's true, too. That's true.
Yeah, because
you have to put Dean Smith in there before you put Roy Williams in there, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even talking about
Dean.
You got to throw Dean in.
I think Herb McGee better than all those jokers, man.
You think who?
Herb McGee better than all those jokers.
Yeah, that's my man, Herb McGee.
We'll talk about him later. On the coaches, did y'all think Shaka made the smart decision, pun intended?
I think he quadrupled his salary, and he's staying at home. He doesn't have to move his wife. I don't think they have any kids, and you know, he's had national attention. He's going to get more recruits. So for 8 years and $1.2 million, I mean, he could have got that same salary at a higher school and then have to go retransition everything and rebuild. So.
Well, rumor has it that NC State was offering $2 million. Mm.
Yeah, they were offering two million.
I think he should have gone for the bigger program. He got $1.2 million, which is a whole lot more than what
800.
Yeah, he was making $3.25 million though.
Yeah, he got a 300% raise. He got a 300% raise. So I'm not saying I think he should have stayed. I mean, he should have left because of the money, because he obviously got some good money out of it. But I think he should have gone to the bigger program because, okay, he may get some good recruits, but still NC State is going to put him in a better position to spend more money to get even better players than he would get at VCU. So he would have the money.
Right.
And he'd be building a program.
But here's the thing, though. It's how do you perceive NC State? Because I know a couple other coaches, they say turn that job down. That's not – I mean, they once were a great program. But here's the thing. Would you – if your job offered you a 300% raise and you didn't have to uproot your life that way, would you take that as opposed to, you know, making a little bit more to have to uproot your entire life?
Instead of a 500% raise.
All we think about is the basketball.
Hey, no, but
no,
you also got to
consider one thing.
He would have got like, oh, go ahead, PJ.
No, real quick, I was just going to say also, too, the fact that he is kind of, now that VCU is kind of on the radar and he's kind of out there, will his buzz ever be as hot as it is right now? So, in other words, if he has success, the pressure is on. So it might be a little bit tougher because they're on the radar. Now, if he is really as good of a coach as he seems to be, then he may continue to have success. But if he plateaus and they don't like get too much better, I wonder, you know, will that chance come around again? I mean, he's a young guy, so chances are that it will. But it's a lot to consider.
But even if you don't plateau again, it's good to not have to plateau and you still make it 1.2.
Yeah.
But also in our chat room, Mopes215 said that the other thing is his wife is pregnant, and now he doesn't have the pressure that comes with uprooting his entire family. All we think about is the basketball side, but there's other things that go into it, sort of like what PJ said about coaches becoming immigrants.
But listen, what about the money? The money, he would have got more money, and the cost of living in North Carolina is cheaper than it is up in VA.
Yeah, I mean, this is true, but do you want to coach NC State? Like, NC State is not what it once was. Like,
I understand
but
I'd rather coach NC State.
Like, when they had Rodney Monroe and Tim Gugliotta, that's when they
were. And now the thing is,
it still has more money and more resources than VCU. It's a lot.
But
now,
PJ,
that's true.
PJ,
at NC State, as good as a coach he is, he might not be able to compete in the ACC because now he's going against Maryland. He's going against Duke.
Exactly.
He's going against UNC.
Exactly.
So after 3 years, he may be out of there. They'd be like, look, homie, you're 5 and
exactly.
You're 10 and 50 in the ACC, so see ya.
Hey, PJ, to what Bayon said, PJ, you said the pressure's on now. It'll be more pressure if you leave. I mean, at VCU, he's going to be the man for several years to come because of this run. At NC State, the pressure's on from day one for you to do what
pressure.
You did.
Yo, they're not even the best team in that division, though, in that conference. Old Dominion was.
And I don't know. I don't know how good.
I get that, but what I'm saying is,
I don't know how good a strategist dude is either. He's a great motivator, but I didn't see VCU running any sets or plays that make you say, wow, they're
I know they play lockdown defense, but my thing is this, though.
Defense and running around. Free-flowing offense and defense.
My thing is, the bigger program you are, the bigger pressure you have. I mean, that's just the bottom line. If you're in the ACC, you have more pressure than you do coaching at VCU.
I'm not saying
because you're
buzz,
in the
I'm
ACC.
Saying his buzz might not be as hot as it is right now. In other words, because he's the hot him and the guy from
so
Butler are
cash,
hot name right
in,
now. I don't know if he's
going to got the hot buzz.
Right, while he has the hot buzz.
And
now, I don't know. I didn't say he should definitely do it, but I'm just saying you never know. It depends on what he does from this point on.
It's sort of like
what Coach Stevens from Butler said when they were asking him about different jobs. He said, you know, when you look at college basketball now, it's not like just being in a glamorous conference is everything. He said there's only like so many jobs that you would leave your current job for, being like a Duke or North Carolina, you know, the big-time programs who already have coaches, the Kentuckys. So it's not like a lot – because the playing field has changed with the one-and-done rule, so a lot of these coaches aren't looking to go to, you know, a school like North NC State.
If he's using the example of like leaving your job to go to – North Carolina and Duke, then he's not talking about Shaka Smart. He's talking about coaches who already, you know, like cats that leave to go to North Carolina, cats like Roy Williams, who already has success. If you
he was talking about himself,
EU or somewhere like that. Come on, man, you leave for that ACC job. Because look, the pressure is risky, like PJ said. The pressure is on, so it would be easier for him to flop at NC State than to flop at VCU. If he doesn't do anything else at VCU, I mean, he's
never going to be able to get to.
Yeah, but my thing
like
is,
if he doesn't do anything else at VCU, Jim, he ain't going to get another shot probably. He might
yeah,
not.
Yeah, but guess what?
I
agree with Akil. Say he doesn't do anything at VCU, he'll stay there the rest of his contract and still may get another contract just based upon this buzz. At NC State, if he doesn't do anything right away, he's gone. They will fire
he could be
him.
Like Gonzaga. He could be like Gonzaga, like the dude Mark Few. Like he said at Gonzaga, and he might be trying to build VCU like Gonzaga. That's a possibility.
But Kim,
I mean, or Boise State football.
But also consider, too, that VCU was not dominating their own conference. Like, you know what I'm saying? They came
that's
in there.
Yeah, this is true.
There's no guarantee.
He got to play well at this point in the time.
There's no guarantee he plays out that 8 year. That's why I'm saying it's risky. If he flops to the point where – I mean, they expect more from him now. So if he doesn't win that conference in 2 and 3 years, he's going to get fired.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if VCU will be as quick to fire him as
leaving.
NC State does. My point is, why wouldn't they?
They're on the hook for $12 million now. I'd fire him in three.
How long was Sidney Lowe at NC State? And I got it.
5 years. And he was at 5 years. The most games he won in the ACC is 6. His record in the ACC was 25-55.
And they got rid of him within a couple of years. And he was an alma mater. Like, yo, NC State, he has a shorter leash at NC State than he does VCU.
I think he played. I don't know if I agree with that. Like if they're both losing, I think they would understand more. Like we have to build this program back up, and we have to build it against Duke, Carolina, Maryland, Clemson, all those teams. I think he gets a little longer of a leash.
They didn't give Sidney Lowe the benefit of the doubt.
Sidney Lowe, Jimmy, Sidney Lowe coached in the NBA. There's more expectations for Sidney Lowe. If Sidney Lowe comes,
Yo, their last coach before Sidney Lowe, they didn't have he had a shorter tenure than Sidney Lowe. Like they don't give you. My thing is at VCU, he's the face of their program at this point. I think he has a longer leash at VCU than he does NC State.
But we're not calling it what it is because we're happy for the brother. Dog, that run, that them getting in the tournament was luck. As PJ mentioned, they're not the best in their conference. And the expectation is higher than what – it's not commensurate with what their true abilities are.
Right. Right. And that's the tournament. A lot of teams get hot at the time of the tournament And they might not necessarily,
exactly.
You know, that's something we'll discuss later.
If you look at day one with that same dumb mantra of jacking from three and locking down.
We said it on the show. I remember, Brad, you said that if that whole thing of shooting the threes, you live and die by the three. We talked about it like last week or the week before,
yeah,
and it gets rough because if things go sour, then what do you turn to offensively? You end up
playing
the
club. My man got a 300% raise. Let's move on. He got a 300% raise.
Say congrats to the Texas A&M women, and we're going to move on to the NBA.
Yeah, let's have some basketball talk, man. Let's talk about the association, yo. The NBA Rookies of the Month. We have the Intercontinental Mulatto Champion, a.k.a. Blake Griffin, and we have John Wall. Dev, you got their stats?
Yes, sir. John Wall ranked third among rookies in scoring with 18.1 points per game, first in assists at 7.3 assists, first in steals at 1.67, and he was the first Washington rookie to ever record at least 32 points, 10 assists, and 5 rebounds in a game since Earl the Pearl did it in 1968. The Mulatto champion, Blake Griffin, the Mulatto Intercontinental champion, to Darren Williams, he led all rookies in scoring, as usual, with 20.5 a game, 10.4 rebounds, and he tied for second in assists at 4.3 assists. So he's the only player in the league averaging at least 20 points, 12 rebounds, and 3 assists.
You forgot one stat, and that is John Wall landed a couple body shots on Big Z.
But got gripped up and looked like he was scared to death. Yo, he tripped him up.
Big Z didn't feel that.
Shout out to the NBA Rookies of the Month. Let's talk about the Players of the Month now. The Players of the Month are one Mr. Derrick Rose, a.k.a. Monkey Man, and Kobe Bean Bryant. Dev, you got these stats?
Yes, sir. Rose, he helped the Eastern Conference leading Bulls to a 13-3 record in March. He averaged 25 points, 7.9 assists, and just been murking the league ever since the start of the season. He's the odds-on favorite to win the MVP. Kobe averaged 25.8, 4.8 rebounds, and 4.4 assists, leading the Lakers to a 12-1 record in the month of March. They were on fire, and then they've cooled off the last three games, losing three straight. So that's your that's your Players of the Mizont.
Okay.
Kobe
okay.
Be showing off,
now,
man.
Next thing real quick is the
Michael
Players
Jordan
of the Week.
Jordan Jr.
The Players of the Week are one Melo and my homie, Jadakiss, a.k.a. Zach Randolph. Randolph! Dad, what's their stats look like?
Yo, I think Randolph looked like the boy from Family Matters, the son on Family Matters.
He looked like Eddie?
Eddie Winslow.
He do look like Eddie Winslow.
But, yo, Melo and the Knicks went 3-0 last week, and he shot the dagger into the Sixers last night, even though they shut him down in the fourth. That's what real closers do. He averaged 34.3 points, 8.3 rebounds, and 3.3 assists last week. Shot 50% from the field, 87% from the foul line. He had back-to-back 39 and 10 rebound performances. Zach, Eddie Winslow, Jadakiss, Randolph led Memphis to a 3-0 week. Memphis is about to get that spot in the playoffs, too. He averaged 20.
Randolph.
He was the only player in the league to average 20, 10, and 5 assists last week. So,
yo,
Randolph.
Yeah, he a free agent, too? Yo, I think Randolph is free agent, and Randolph puts up numbers,
yo,
on the low. He puts in work.
Hold on, Jimmy. Hold on, because I know who you're going to take, but I'm going to ask this. Kristina Bosch or Zach Randolph?
Oh, come on, man. I'm taking Zach Randolph. Zach Randolph will give you 20 and 10, and he moved base on the side. As long as if he can stop moving base, he would.
No, you ain't just say face, though.
Christina Bosch. Out of trouble, man, because Zach always in trouble, man.
Christina Bosch should get you 24 and 11 and cross-dress on the side. What?
Yeah, she didn't want that. Will need that attention, man.
And Christina saw some nice man purses for you. She has a man purse coming to the game.
We're not with that on the War Room.
That's that Dennis Rodman.
No princess boyish. But, yo, Zach Randolph's a free agent, yo. And when you look at the crop of free agents, it's like, well, first off, we ain't going to have no season next year anyway, so it don't even matter.
He's a free agent already?
I believe so.
They signed him off that
trade.
From the Powell trade. He must have signed a short term. Like,
I think he must have got a 3 or 4 year deal.
I can believe it though because they probably thought he was going to get in trouble. So let's sign him to a short term, John, to see what.
But think about it. I've been there. This is Kyle's fourth year.
Okay, but remember they had because Kwame's contract was up at the end of that year. Yeah. It was the end of that year. So he might be.
That's his luck. It's going to be a lockout, and then when it comes back, the big contract is going to be gone. It's cool, though. He moves based on the stuff, so he'd be cool. But, yo, real quick, the Nuggets have been balling lately. Like, yo, they got two starting five. They look like the old Arkansas team. They just run out five, put another five, and they put pressure on you. They smacked the Lakers around, and Dev's homie, Kenyon Martin, is acting a fool. Like, is it time to give him some respect that you still think it's adrenaline?
Yo, they're balling. I give props to George Karl, but if I'm a Western Conference team in the top tier, I just can't see fearing the Nuggets in a 7-game series. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
It's funny.
Yo.
I was listening to someone from, like, out Denver, like the Denver Post. It was one of the writers from the Denver Post was saying that there's a feeling from, like, a lot of players in their team as though they should be starting. Like, their whole second fives believe they're starters.
Yeah.
So when they come in, they're coming in trying to take jobs. So the energy level is always up because it's like, yo, everybody's competing against each other.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. I mean, but we got to give them respect. Just like Kills PTR, we got to give them some respect for what they've been doing because they've been playing much better than the Knicks. And, you know, they were an afterthought.
Kenyon Martin is a fraud, and I take Walter Woods. Holla.
Yo, I agree with that, but I'm not going to front, yo. I'm a fan of Nene. I hate saying that because his name is Nene. But Nene put in work.
Kenyon. What's a Kenyon?
That boy got lips tattooed on his body. Shaka Smart played ball at Kenyon College.
PJ, what's your thoughts on this, PJ?
I mean, I don't know. It's hard. Like I think Dev said, it's hard to, like, show them a lot of respect. Yeah. Just because it's the Nuggets, but there are, like you said, I heard what you said about. I heard the same thing about them having their second five, really believing that they should start and really going out and having something to prove when they do get on the court. Right now, if the playoffs were to start, they would be playing OKC, and.
That's a tough one, wouldn't it?
That's what I'm thinking. When I'm thinking of how they're playing, it all depends. Like, if it's all adrenaline, then it might not carry on through the playoffs. It may carry through the first round, but it might not carry on all the way.
I'll tell you one thing. These playoffs are going to be exciting.
They're
going to
be great.
Especially after this noodle national championship. I'm so excited for the NBA playoffs, yo.
Hey, PJ, I think there's a team that they might be able to compete with. It might be OKC, though. Just as a matchup thing. OKC is a better team, but Denver, they might match up pretty well with them. What are you saying, Bam?
I was going to read off. The starters for Denver are Ty Lawson, Aaron Aflato, Gallinari, Kenyon Martin, and Nene. And then off the bench, you got Raymond Felton, who was averaging 18 and 11 before the trade. Then you got J.R. Smith, who can put up 40 like twice a year. Then you got Wilson Chandler, who put up 30 at least. Then you got Chris Anderson and Al Harrington. So that's their second five.
I can't even front on their second five.
It all depends on the night. But, yo, check it out. The thing about it is, too, they got legs, like, you know what I'm saying? Not like that, but they can keep coming. And it's hard when you get deeper into the season, you know what I'm saying? You don't have the same type of stamina.
Kobe made a statement after the game, and he was like, yo, he said, they have a legitimate two starting fives in this league.
He was like, you know, that's one of the teams that's one of the deepest teams he's played against in his career. He said they have a legitimate two starting fives on their team. And, you know, Kobe's been in the league 14 years. I mean, when's the last time you've seen a team with two starting fives like this?
Probably Portland back when Steve Smith put him in the popcorn machine.
Oh yeah, they was deep too.
And then Memphis, when Hubie Brown coached Memphis, they made the playoffs a couple years. They had like two starting fives, which made them effective.
Portland has two all star fives.
Portland has two all-star teams.
Yo, next thing I want to talk about. Go ahead. You said something?
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, JR's game is bipolar. He can get you 40, but he can score negative 40 first time in history.
He can score 40 in the other basket, too.
Let me get the story. Let me tell you the story real quick, because I want to know how you guys feel about this. I'm going to go around and ask each of you, what would you do? It's about Steve Nash, who is the point guard, two-time All-Star for the Phoenix Suns.
Wow.
Now, Steve Nash, his wife got pregnant, and he left his wife, you know, at the hospital once she got pregnant. And he caught a lot of flack for this. How could you leave her, yada, yada, yada. Then it comes out that the baby wasn't his, that everybody blamed Barbosa, who was his teammate. Now they're saying the baby was Jason Richardson's. Now, my question to you is, you know, he's a Caucasian male. He's in the delivery room. The baby comes out and it's African American. Tell me first, what would your reaction be if you're in the delivery room with your whiz, and let's say you're African American, let's say the baby comes out as a white baby. What would your reaction be?
Yo, first of all I want to say is, they ran a train on his wife, and he's the conductor, and they ain't even tell him.
Wow.
Yo, his wife got gangbanged, but here's the deal.
So PJ, what you saying is they ran Triznan.
They ran a Triznan on her, and they ain't invite him, so I think that's why he's upset. If Ebony had a baby, and that thing came out any lighter, she out of the room. Any lighter, and then either one of us who are both brown skin, yo, she got a lot of explaining to do, huh?
Well, no, that, you gotta give
she
it
got
a
lot.
There.
Even
they don't
in
got
the hospital,
yet when they're in there. They ain't got that tan yet, so it's gonna be.
Yeah,
a problem.
That's true. You know what? I'm gonna check the ears though. They say the ears get dark even though the baby lights. So I'm gonna check the top of the ear right behind the left lobe. If that ain't got no chocolate in it,
you want the truth? You can't handle the truth.
I don't know, man. You can't ask me this on national radio, cause
Okay, no doubt. How about you, Dr. Bayon?
I want to incriminate myself, but the mailman gonna die.
Yeah, he just blamed straight went to the mailman, Dr. Bayon. Did you hear the story, Dr. Bayon?
Yo, I saw that this story came out in November, but I didn't even hear about it till recently. And, yo, that's just sad if that's the case, man. Like, first I heard it, I mean, I forgot who it went to first, if it was Barbosa and then Richardson.
Barbosa.
And then they both got traded. Like, subsequently, they were both traded, and people are saying that's the reason why those two guys were traded.
And now we know who's the boss over that side. That's his squad.
Yeah,
I mean, now, Austin, finally your turn, Austin. Let me know what your reaction would be if this happened to be you, sir.
Well, there are a lot of horror movies out, but I'm just going to say that machete would need sharpening after I was done cutting pieces.
Yo, it's funny because,
you
like,
tell me
why, you know.
In God's name, you called his mother a garden tool.
Yo, it's the crazy part. Like, I think Nash is nice, but I'm not a huge Steve Nash fan. But, yo, I felt sorry for him when I read the story. Like, yo, I can't imagine as a man, yo, how do you feel? Like, you know, it's one thing to have it sprung on you, but, yo, you're in the hospital.
That's when men go crazy. And, like, seriously, stuff like that will cause a man to go crazy and commit a crime that he shouldn't. Like, he will lose. You lose your mind sometimes. Like, and that's you could possibly lose your mind for a second. Like, you could be the straightest, non-bipolar, coolest, relaxed dude in the world, but something like that, especially with a baby and a child, that's so emotional. That's tugging so hard on your emotional cord, cause, yo, I don't know. Like, when you ask who, nobody really knows because it's just hard to have felt something like that.
Steve Nash married a Myra.
Yo, hold on, though. Think about this, fellas. He went 9 months, like, you know, with this woman. This is his wife. He went 9 months thinking, like, me and my wife are having a baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo.
Check this out. I was like, after hearing this story, you know how we talked about Steve Nash, he's kind of overrated, and we don't know if he should go to the Hall of Fame, but we know that he'll go. After hearing his story, I was like, HOF all the way.
Yeah, I thought I felt bad for the boy, yo. Yo, you
stay with a lot of stuff on the show.
I feel bad for the boy.
Hey, Jimmy,
you know that
this is becoming too much of a trend, man. Because you remember
Tony Parker?
Yeah,
like, teammates violating, man.
That's violation, man. Y'all got all this stuff on the road, and you dealing with your teammates. Man, come on.
That's the biggest violation in life.
Hey, Jimmy, I think we should move on before I get upset.
Yeah, we should. I just want to say one thing. You know that Steve Nash probably took them – he probably took them nut-ass pictures when she was pregnant with his head on the baby, like stomach and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
All that.
With his head, his
he
ear on
the whole
tummy.
Time, that was Jason Richardson's baby.
Hey, Jimmy, you know how they make they put their hand on the stomach and make the heart and all that stuff?
Oh, man. This is terrible, man. Let's move on, man. Yo, let's move on, man. Shout out to Steve Nash, man. We feel sorry for you in the war room, yo. Last thing I want to talk about, he's going to Hall of Fame, yo. We're going to move him to HOF in the war room.
You can't be marrying them toots. You can't be marrying the toots.
Good segue. Next thing I'm going to talk about, I want to talk about the 2011 Basketball Hall of Fame inductees. Dev, you have the entire class?
I got the entire class. The notables, you know, Dennis Rodman and Christopher Mullen. But then you had Tex Winter, the innovator of the triangle offense. Philadelphia University's Herb McGee, according to PJ, got the best foul shot in the history of foul shooting. Artis Gilmore, Arvydas Sabonis, who was a legend over in Europe.
True.
You got Teresa Edwards, Boston Celtic Globetrotter Reese Goose Tatum, Boston Celtic Tom Satch Sanders. I don't know who they are. But we said the notables in this class for us, you know, Rodman and Mullen. And we already made our case about Dennis Rodman on here. So it's good to see dude, you know, finally get from under that little stigma and actually get into the hall. So congrats to Dennis.
Yo, it's like I get mad at them all the time, but the fact that they stepped up and put Rodman in, like, I applaud that because I thought it would be more difficult for him.
Sometimes they let
off the court antics cloud what he did on the court, which they shouldn't. So
the boy straight married himself.
Now I was happy to see Mully. I was happy to see Chris Mullin get in.
I like Mully. I mean, remember we had that long conversation about Mully the other day.
Yeah,
he was the type of dude. I think he had much game, but I think he stayed around too long. You remember his last days when he was with the Pacers, and he barely could walk.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. That's one thing. See, Mully. So to me, Mully is another one of those guys. To me, who never reached his potential, the height of his potential, because I don't know if you guys remember, Mully was a straight alcoholic. And
after he was
in the league a couple of years, yo, Don Nelson straight put him in rehab. His first year out of rehab, he put up like 29 a game. So if he could have stayed off the bottle, you know, who knows the kind of numbers he could have put up.
He was giving out 20 and like 7 while inebriated.
because he averaged 20-plus. For 6 seasons, he averaged 25 plus for 5 straight seasons. Then, you know, after he left Golden State, it seemed like he just got old real quick. And when he was playing with the Pacers, he was just a spot up shooter at that point. I mean, he could put it on the floor a little bit, but he wasn't fast enough to go by anybody anymore. So,
back in the Run TNT days. He was the man.
But you know what
Tim Hardaway, Mitch Richmond, and himself, they was nice.
Superstars, too.
You know it.
Yeah, he was on there.
You know, the dude, I forgot what I was about to say. Go ahead. I'm like, you know.
When you know, what you know.
I just want to say shout out also to Tex Winter, man, because, yo, Tex Winter, like myself, was a thinker, and I want to say shout out to him. I think he should have been in the hall, but that's neither here nor there.
Can I give a quick shout out to my man, Herb McGee? Can I just give a quick shout out to my man, Herb McGee? He's the only Hall of Famer that I think I know that's in the NBA Hall of Fame that I know. And like I was telling y'all earlier in the week, man, me and Jamal used to go to his basketball camp from the ages of like 8 to 13, 14 at Philadelphia University. And dude was probably the best shooter I've ever seen. Now, I thought he was like 70 at the time when we went to the camp like 25 years ago. But he, yo, dude would sit, I literally sat and saw him make like 100 straight foul shots while he was looking at the court behind him, at the other court, like maybe. Apparently, they said that Herb McGee made like 897 consecutive foul shots, and he only missed the last one because the next day started, and he had to go something. He had to handle something at home because the sun had come back up. He was still in the gym that night.
Speaking of that, though, I was reading his story in the city paper, and they were saying that he's another one of those guys who decided to stay. He had so many offers over the years to leave little Philadelphia University and go to, like, big institutions. But, you know, like I said, a lot of times we don't think about the family and all that. He said he wanted to stay.
He
said he had kids in school.
Hey, Jimmy, did you also hear that he's actually going to be working this summer with some Shat, and he's going to help him with his jump shot?
The Sixers will always come to the camp. Like, that camp ran about 2 weeks, and a Sixer, like, a couple of times Charles Barkley came there because he was working with Charles, not on his jump shot, but on his feet, on his foul shot. He was like, Charles is shooting foul shot coach, and that didn't work that way.
Yeah, he's definitely a legend.
Yeah,
I may be wrong. I may be wrong.
Yeah, so shout out to Herb McGee.
Shout out to the Texas winners, man.
All the cats that made the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, one last fact about Mully. I know he's the last dude, except for Christian Laettner from the Dream Team, to make the Hall of Fame. So that might have pushed him over. Like, if he was on the line and people were wondering if they should put him in, that Dream Team probably automatically gets you in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I don't know what the protection is. Laettner might be surprised if Laettner gets into the Hall of Fame,
cuz
it's gonna be up his college career. He might put him in the college and college and Dream Team, right?
Did
he
mention
it?
They need to have a college joint, man. They should have
they do.
So you're not talking about
they have a college.
You talking about the NBA Hall of Fame though?
No, but
there is no NBA Hall of Fame.
There is no NBA.
Basketball.
There's a college
Hall of
Fame, and there's
Hall
a basketball Hall of Fame. And
right, so what I'm saying
career.
Is you think he's going to make the basketball Hall of Fame?
It's a possibility just because of the Dream Team and his
if he
does, the thing, PJ, the basketball Hall of Fame counts all your basketball accomplishments.
Yeah,
it has nothing. It's not just the NBA. It counts your Olympics.
Right. So then,
but
so he didn't accomplish anything in the pros, but
it doesn't even mention the dog. Sabonis is going this year.
Yeah, Sabonis only played 2 good years in
the NBA. He played like 2 years in the NBA, but he put in work.
Yeah, but
he
Sabonis
put in work
he average
yeah.
like
yeah.
Sabonis yeah. used to put up like 40, 40, and 40.
Arturis Sabonis. Yeah,
yo,
I just never liked Christian Laettner. I always hated him.
I don't think anybody in the war room does.
Yeah,
I don't think he should.
I've never met anyone that liked Christian Laettner ever.
Yo,
I respect Christian Laettner.
Even Duke fan.
I just think he's advisable.
Y'all remember when that whole Jalen Rose thing happened? Nobody came to his defense. Everybody stuck up for Grant Hill, and he straight called Laettner a biatch. Nobody came to his defense. They said, "Oh yeah, Grant ain't no Uncle Tom, but you may be right about the other book." But he may get in the Hall just based upon his collegiate career. His collegiate career was crazy. He did put in work. He's a great college player. I might be retarded right now, but.
The funny thing is, I might sound retarded right now, but I had no idea it was a college basketball Hall of Fame. I thought it was just one basketball Hall of Fame.
It is. The college still has their own.
So let me ask you something. Can you be in both of them? Can you be in college and basketball?
Yes, you can.
Somebody like John Wooden probably is in both.
Oh, he is in both, yeah. So is John Chaney. Shout out to John Chaney.
John Chaney's in both?
Yeah, he's in both.
Kareem probably in both.
John Chaney's in the College Hall of Fame, the Basketball Hall of Fame, and the Big Five Hall of Fame.
The Big Five
and the Temple Hall of Fame.
Temple.
Temple Hall of Fame.
Exactly. He in the Mount Airy Hall of Fame, too. He's been living in Mount Airy for like 50 years.
Cheney State College Hall of Fame, because he took Cheney to the D2 championship.
Yeah, he did.
Jimmy.
Yeah, you're right.
He in the Wawa Hall of Fame. His bus right next to Jimmy.
Shout out to my man, John Cheney, man.
Shout out to Tex Winter, because Tex Winter, he gets so cerebral with the triangle offense that the Bulls and now the Lakers, when they practice, when they do their drills or when they even stretch and work out, they have to be like 15 to 20 feet away from each other because that's how far they have to be away from each other in the triangle to have proper spacing.
We talking about practice.
Let's talk about some hot topics or something, man.
Yeah, real quick, they had the NFL hearing yesterday. And basically, the NFL players went to the judge to see if she could deem the lockout, unlawful. So basically, she listened to both sides. She said she won't make a decision for about 2 weeks. But she said in the meanwhile, she urged both sides to try to negotiate and work on a deal. Sounded like she's trying to take the pressure off herself.
Mm-hmm.
See if they can get a deal done before she got to make her little judgment. So what do y'all think about this NFL story?
My question is, why is the judge, why is her middle name Richard? That's what I don't understand.
Her name Richard, man. Seriously, her middle name is Richard?
Her middle name is Richard.
Stop. Yo. Maybe she was born a hermaphrodite. She might have been born a hermaphrodite, and they said whatever she looks like as she starts to go through puberty, we're going to just go with that in reverse.
Yo, I mean, it could be worse, though. Like Pat Summit from Tennessee, her middle name is Head. Her name is Pat Head Summit.
Richard Head Summit.
Know what she do. Y'all know what she do.
More Head State.
She earned that name.
Alright, so real quick, since, the NFL, like I said, we can beat that story to death, man. Observations from the opening week of Major League Baseball. We all made our picks last week, and like Jimmy said, it's like a 1,900-game season, so it's really nothing to get up in arms about if your team stinks right now, or even if your team is good right now, because you really can't tell. But we're just going to play this little game anyway. What surprised y'all about the first week in baseball?
Red Sox.
Red Sox. I would say Boston because I mean, it's funny. It's funny. Now, they're 0-5, right? They're 0-6, right. So no team has ever gone 0-6 and actually, made it to the playoffs?
They said no team that's gone 0-4 has ever won the World Series. I don't know if they made it or not.
It seems weird because it's only four games that, like, if a team went through a slump in July, right? Say they went through a slump in July and lost four games, and, they still were, like, in the top of their division. That wouldn't be a big deal at all.
Good teams don't generally lose four straight first. That's the thing. That's why the stat because generally – Yeah, I mean, good teams generally don't lose. I mean, especially considering if you're a good team, more than likely you have a good ace pitcher. So a lot of times, at least you'll win the game when you're ace pitcher.
He pitched one every fifth game, so he might lose four until he comes back up.
Listen to the standings in that division. It's like it's all backwards. Only constant is the Yankees.
Yeah.
They're in second place at 4-2. But you got the Baltimore Orioles leading that division at 4-1. Toronto. Tied with the Yankees. Toronto, they're going to be garbage in a week. Toronto is 4-2. Boston and Tampa Bay are both 0-6. And I know I picked Boston to win the division, the league, and the World Series. Jimmy, I think you picked Tampa Bay to win that division.
I picked Tampa to win the division. But here's the thing, though. Buck Showalter, who is the manager of Baltimore, he's won everywhere he's been. His major problem in his entire career is the fact that he butts heads with management. He has never, gotten fired for production. He gets fired because, he wants to run things his way and, is his way or the highway. But he's been a winner everywhere he's been, and he won the World Series with the Diamondbacks.
Hey, Jimmy, when he took over, since he took over last year, he has the second best record in the majors to Philadelphia. Baltimore, since he took over.
He wins everywhere he goes. I actually read an article on him, and they said that, he's the smartest guy in baseball. Like, he's another thinker. He thinks the game to the point where, he's,
consumed with baseball. That's all he does. But he's won everywhere he's been.
Wasn't that my pick?
That was your pick, but you picked him because you said you like Cal Ripken, though.
Baltimore and Toronto replaced Boston and Tampa Bay. They were replaced Boston and Tampa Bay in the basement in like 2 weeks.
Yo, and I picked the Rangers. I picked the Rangers to lose to the Phillies in the World Series, and those seem to be the two best teams so far. But it's early, super early.
Rangers 6-0 out here.
Yeah,
and the Phillies lost that one game to the Mets, and then went on to like
we 5-1.
They put up 10 runs last night and 11 runs tonight.
Wilson Valdez was balling tonight. Today, he had like four hits and like six RBIs or something.
Yo, and the Pittsburgh
his name
Pirates sound
like he's
4-3. The Pirates are 4-3.
Yo, like
three.
I said, hey Dev, let me ask you a question, Dev.
Uh-huh.
Yo, when Big Brother start?
I know, right? I think it start around June. People,
okay,
we're
look
Scandinavian
right
midget sword tournament.
We got a call.
Scandinavian midget sword tournament.
Might want to take that call.
Yeah, no doubt, I got it.
Yeah.
267-701, you know, War Room, what's your name? Where you calling from?
My name is Maurice Workman. I'm calling from Philadelphia, PA.
Big Reese!
I'm in the house. I thought we were talking about Hall of Fame basketball, fellas, not the baseball
okay
today right now. You know, we got 180-something games, 60 games. Can we get to the Hall of Fame, please, brother?
What's your thoughts on the Hall?
Grant Hill going to the Hall of Fame. Hands down.
Are you bringing up old stuff?
Yo, Reese, I'm on your side. This is Jimmy Reese, and I'm on your side, Joe. I can't see how Grant can't go based upon, you know, collegiate career, Olympic career, you know, and even the NBA, the numbers
he
put up. I'm on your side,
he can't.
Man.
He can't go because he's Uncle Tom.
Time out. But here again. Like we take that term and say Uncle Tom. But like, who wouldn't want the best environment for their kids to go to school though? So I don't kind of agree with that though.
I know, but a lot of people take that
and blow it out of proportion though. But the guy's been to three national championship games. He's won two. You know, first team All NBA. I mean, you know, that's kind of like, hands down, kind of puts him in the Hall of Fame.
Hey, Reese, speaking of that, by Jalen's definition, all my kids going to be Uncle Tom. So,
I mean, that's what I say right now, too. I mean, you know.
No, but the thing is, by
Jalen's definition, Jalen's kid is Uncle Tom.
Hey, Jimmy.
I mean, I think
that,
he admitted it,
Grant
too.
Hill, when did we do the HOF for Grant Hill on the show? Was that 2 weeks ago or was that last week?
Yes, yeah, about that's about no, that was like
2 weeks ago. Because last week we did Mark Jackson.
I gotta remember, that's our opinion at that very moment. Now, we're not saying that Grant Hill, because I was like right on the line. It could have gone either way, but I took his injuries into account and how many prime years he missed from his injuries, and said at the moment I would have to say no for Grant Hill. But if he plays two more years, like he's playing right now, averaging like 13-14 a game, I'll probably change that. But for right now, too many prime years, miss, man.
Yo,
now,
but here's
Reese,
one
but
thing,
that,
Reese.
Actually, this is Kill. Hey, Reese, real quick.
What's
this
up,
is Kill. We are on basketballdatabase.com. Now, they have their own criteria and formula for it, but they say Grant Hill and Mark Jackson have similar careers when it comes to the Hall of Fame. Like, their thing is the player should have 135 points or more by their criteria, and Grant Hill has 117, and Mark Jackson has 115. Now, mind you, players have been getting in, you know, around 115. I mean, Joe Dumars has a, like, 105, and he got in. But I'm just saying, like, they're saying that, okay, Mark Jackson and Grant Hill have similar careers. I just wanted to add that. That's all.
Here's the thing I want to say, Reese. People forget, like, he did win back-to-back national championships, but after Leitner and Hurley left and he was the only one left, you know, he took Duke to the national championship with a bunch of nobodies. And, I mean, they did lose the game to that tough Arkansas team.
Exactly.
Yeah, but he was putting in work. Now, he won the three national championships in 4 years.
They all had bad haircuts, though.
Yeah, everybody nowadays. Did you see the UConn game? All them jokers got bad haircuts. Everybody on that court had bad haircuts.
Yeah,
it was just bad. But I think Grant Hill, he definitely going to make. He got two gold medals. I think he might have a bronze and a gold. I mean, he kind of plays with them. think he's penciled in.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I wouldn't say hands down, but I see how you can make a case for him.
He about to get a first or second team defensive nod this season.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He is. Let me ask you a question, Reese. What's your thoughts on Steve Nash?
That's kind of tough because I think Steve Nash is the only two-time MVP that's never made it. Has never won the NBA championship. But
LeBron ain't won one either.
No, I'm sorry, but I don't think Steve Nash has ever made it to the NBA Finals, though.
He never made it to the finals.
Yeah.
LeBron took him with two bad knees. He had, like, Eric Snow and Drew Gooden and Sasha, whoever.
I think basically since, I don't know, I think two MVPs, no matter what we all think, two MVPs got you in. Knees and he's
put him in.
Yeah, two MVPs.
I put him in because I feel sorry for the brother because of the situation he went with his wife. So I give him a pity vote.
All right, well, good looking, Beast, man. Thanks for your call, man. We're about to move on to this main topic and talk about these college athletes taking money.
Oh,
crazy.
All right, later.
All right,
so, Jim, whenever you're ready, dog. Oh, before you start, just tell everybody if you want to call in. We're about to talk about our main topic. So that number is 323-410-0012. We're about to talk about go ahead, Jim. You tell them what we're about to talk about.
Yeah. We want to talk about money handshakes, the pimps and hoes of college athletics, and my cousin Big Money Ed. Basically, this topic derived from a Real Sports with Brian Gumbel episode. And it was in reference to collegiate athletes, should they get paid, should they not get paid, the current system that the NCAA has, and the thoughts of athletes continuously getting caught, you know, taking handouts or taking money. So I'm just going to open the floor up and get your guys' opinion on, one, the show, and two, what do you think the solution is?
The show? Actually, I watched it twice. I thought it was a really interesting episode. Just like any other show, Brian Gumbel got across the points that he was looking to get across. It's his show, so he can do whatever he wants. So it seemed a little bit biased to his opinions. But I can tell you, I'm not going to go into the solution because, you know, we can talk about that. I don't want to take up all the time. I can just tell you one thing. My thoughts are, you know, we talked about it earlier, like back in September. I don't think that collegiate athletes should get paid like a salary per se, maybe up their stipends or whatever and change the system somehow. But I don't think they should actually just all out get paid like they're professional athletes. Two, the whole the class action lawsuit from Ed O'Bannon, I'm 100% on their side with that because if you're going to keep using these players' likenesses in video games, jerseys, shirts, or whatever, they have
what did that call say? Yo, the call said throughout the earth and killing like, yo, is there something like throughout your life?
It said forever and throughout the universe.
No, it said the universe, though. It didn't just say the earth. Yo, you gotta be out in the galaxy. You can't be on Pluto and get no money. You can't be on Uranus, Paul, and get no money. Yeah, man. But here's the funny thing. They got my man Ed O'Bannon selling Camry coupes with moon roofs and not getting no shit. He's 7 feet, walking around a dealership, talking about you want a test drive that. A big 7 foot dude, look like he can still play out there selling Camry coupes, man. Get that man a check. But no, like, seriously, though, I agree with Dev. Here's the deal. One thing that I think that people do lose sight of is the value of a scholarship. Now, here's the thing. If you look at some of the public institutions and private institutions, right, say a public institution, just like they talked about on the show, you're looking at an average of maybe about $30,000 a year, and in a private institution, upwards of $50,000 to $60,000 a year. So on a private institution, you may be talking about $250,000 value of an education, your food, your travel, all this and all that. And I understand that the universities make, like the big-time universities on a college football or college basketball team make a lot more money than that on a yearly basis than with one player or their star player scholarship is worth. But when you talk about paying them, right, it's hard to really come to a
it's hard to think that when you think that through. Like, how do you do that? Do you say you play people from that program? Do you say you pay only the good players even within that program? What do you do about the lacrosse and the cricket team and the midget sword fighting team? What do you do about those programs and those teams that don't generate any money, that they probably lose money trying to travel them around and their hotel accommodations? And they got three people that come to watch that. Every game, they got three people that come and buy a ticket. But they still got to pay for like 15 hotel rooms every night. I mean, every time they're staying.
PJ, I feel what you're saying, no homo, but like, yo, the thing is, we can't force kids to care about the education. Like, the bottom line is everybody in the country is not –
But
yo, but that's my point.
They're not going to an office building. They're going to a school.
Yo,
so
but here's my point. The only reason they're going to that school is because the rules are forcing them to. We're forcing our belief system of, hey, higher education on somebody who can care less about it. Yo, you think some of these, Joe, you think Derrick Rose really care about going to Memphis? You know what I mean?
That's what they can go over to, though.
Yeah, but the thing is, this is their pit stop for 1 year until they get to what they. I mean,
I believe
in a free market. I also believe in like your choice. Like they don't have a choice at this point. They don't want.
I see what you're saying.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So let me ask you something. If they remove the rule, then so if they remove the one and done rule, and they just said you could come straight to the NBA, then would you change how you think?
No,
in
I
other
think
words,
they should.
Do you still think they should get paid? So Jimmy, let me ask you real quick. You think they should get paid?
I don't know about them getting paid, but here's my alternative is I don't think you should force them to go to school. I think, I know how it looked in the game when you let people come straight from high school, but at the end of the day, the cream rises to the top. The Kobe's Garnett's are still there when a lot of those jokers that came in aren't there. Now, if they fall on their face, that's their fault, they don't, you know, because they didn't go to school. But at the end of the day, I believe in
choice. Gamble, though. It's a lot of teams that take that gamble, though. And when them dudes fall on their face, the team's just out of luck.
Yeah, but that's the way the contracts are set up.
They need to change them damn contracts up, too.
No, I believe in this. If it's a free market, you let them teams make their decisions, and if they fall on their face or get a bad player, guess what? That's on you. In terms of the player, you're not in the league. Guess what? That's on you. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to make you go to college and act like a student when you're really not a student. I put a lot of stock in this.
I hear what you're saying, but it's a slightly different argument. I do hear what you're saying. Now, I completely hear what you're saying, because that's a slightly different argument, but it plays into part of it. Because if you're forcing them to go to school, but you also then you're also like they don't want the education at that time, but you're forcing them to go to school, so it's almost like you're forcing the education on them. But
you're forcing them to somebody who doesn't want it.
I mean, that sounds though, like for somebody to not want an education, they really don't. But that's bad.
Yeah, but you can't force them.
You can't force them to. You're right. You can't. But at the same time, you can't be a doctor too, though. You can say, I want to be a doctor, but guess what? If you don't have a degree, you're not going to be in that profession. So they don't care if you pay attention to school or not, but you better go to school. You better go to medical school, get your licenses, and get your degrees if you want to be a doctor.
Let's take a guy like Derrick Rose. Do you think Derrick Rose really cared about going to English 101? Derrick Rose had no intention on doing anything with a degree. Yo, Derrick Rose didn't even take his SATs. He got it caught for somebody else taking them. He could care less about school.
California,
but all of that doesn't mean they should get paid, though. None of that means they should.
That's what I'm saying. It's a slightly different argument.
I think that there's a balance that can be struck here. See, there's a double and maybe even a triple standard. Jimmy, as you said, we're forcing a certain perception of higher education on these guys as this is the way it is, this is the way you should go, when in reality we're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry. So if you really wanted to keep it gully, I think that what should be done is there should be some level of compensation that's given to players, and you could structure a system out of an endowment that each university has a certain amount for athletics where they're compensated in a controlled manner. That way you're actually giving them an education based on what happens in real world, in reality, because even the money handshakes and the big money ads, that's not reality once you get outside into the real world. So I think that college athletics could change this and turn it into an educational tool and compensate these athletes.
Okay, so
if you open that Pandora's box and start doing anything with compensation, do you also pay the girls from the women's lacrosse team?
No.
Yep.
I said let them fall on their face and let – yo, my whole thing is here's what I believe in. I believe in capitalism, like, yo, a free market. My thing is who's to say that every school should have a women's lacrosse team? Those that can't support themselves, FOH, you no longer have a women's lacrosse team. These welfare sports need to just fall and go away. Like, just if I play for a big time college basketball program
tough,
that generates all the revenue, and I use that revenue to help women's lacrosse or Cambodian midget wrestling, the thing is, let them fall on their face. If they can't generate enough revenue to take care of themselves, the hell with them.
But Jimmy,
no,
is one
I,
university,
I
they can't think.
I don't
like
believe.
That.
Yeah.
You can't
I don't,
do that.
I don't believe
no,
that.
No,
I believe
no,
that.
I honestly
I
believe
you
would lose,
revenue.
But Jim, you also get a lot of revenue from tuition. So I mean,
you
do that anyway. You cut all these things out. You cut all these things out, and we just said what tuition is. So think of a private university, right, where a lot of them come from private high school. And a lot of those girls play lacrosse and field hockey. And if you cut them out, you might got – that's $200,000 a head right there for a girl that might be playing lacrosse.
The market overall will correct itself. There's certain schools that can support those sports, and that's where they'll go. You know, this whole idea
but none of
the
lacrosse
team
is
going to
make as much as Alabama football team or Ohio.
No,
football.
No, and I get
that.
And
what
Jimmy's
saying is right. Yeah, that's actually right. Like, what happens is, you know, when I talk to people, I'm kind of surprised when I hear that, you know, a lot of baseball scholarships and lacrosse scholarships aren't full scholarships. So only really in football and basketball is every scholarship completely full. They say, well, you know, baseball, they only do partial at this school. You know, track only does partial at this school. So what Jimmy's saying, in a sense, even from the education perspective, they still have to come out of their pockets. Now maybe I'm biased, but I feel like, you know, players should get at least a stipend about 200 a month, maybe between 200 and 400, depending on the school, and just leave it at that.
What do they get
now? I'm not against that.
Out of curiosity, what do they get now?
Really, I don't really consider that
nothing.
Paid. So I'm
nothing.
With that.
Oh,
yeah.
Nothing?
Yeah,
we
got
nothing.
I'm talking about paid like a salary. Like,
yo,
When I say compensation, I'm really not speaking of a salary necessarily. There are things that you could put in place that have monetary value that these cats could liquidate at a certain point in their in your career. I mean, or
Myra's.
Your life's road. Give them all Myra's.
Stocks and bonds.
We say that.
Start contributing to their 401k.
We say that jokingly. But I do think along the lines of a 401k or something of that nature, because these
like
endowment
that
funds at certain at certain universities, they have actual funds, hedge funds that they run as a part of their class, and it's real money. I mean, universities play around with money all the time. So it wouldn't be a big deal, and I think the revenue should go to the athletic departments as opposed to the specific sports. So
see,
you turn it into a learning environment.
I'm of the opinion to blow the whole thing up. Like, yo, my thing is, yo, blow the whole thing up. I just don't agree with the whole welfare sports. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of these big-time schools, whether it be Alabama football, whether it be Kentucky basketball, they generate the revenue that controls every athletic component of their school. And I just don't think that's fair, for one. I think that if you can't – the sport can't support itself – FOH. And with that being said, I think the whole system should be blown up. I don't think it's as simple as giving them $200 a month, because it's crazy. No, I'm gonna tell you why I think so, because what they have.
Would you pay all the players the same amount, or would you pay like the better players more?
I would pay them a percentage of the revenue generated by their program. Therefore,
because they're generating money like Ed O'Bannon from UCLA might
have
generated.
Therefore, you know that let's say the players split 50-50 with the school, right? So the basketball team gets 50% of the revenue generated by the basketball team. You know what I mean? And then you break it down per player. I think that it should be a certain percentage. So now if you go to Kentucky and you generate a certain amount, and you go to VCU and you generate a certain amount, you're going to get more going to Kentucky, but you've generated that revenue.
Not going to work, man, because nobody else is going to get any recruits if you do that, because nobody's going to go where they want to go or play for the coach they want to play for. They want to play for
they're
going to
go where they get the most money. But guess what? There's only so many spots.
Not
going to
work.
There's only so many spots.
That's what I'm saying. But it's just gonna mess up recruiting. I mean, I know it's only a few slots, but it's I think that'll mess up recruiting, man.
But it's
sort
of like that anyway.
The
best players go to the best school. It's already like that.
The best players go to
Dukes, to Carolinas. It's already that way anyway.
Okay, but it's gonna be even worse if your school makes more money than everybody else. Okay, you're getting a certain amount of players, but now this coach. You don't even really have to recruit anymore because everybody's coming.
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. It's going to get crazier.
But what I'm saying,
if that kind of money comes into it, though, Jim, it's going to be so – it's going to get dirtier because then it's going to like I think, like Dev said, the recruiting's going to get screwed up. And you're right. There's only 12, 15 spots on the basketball team, so they take them 15
but
and then everybody else takes
it's
down.
It's already that way.
But
you watch the McDonald's game,
no,
everybody's
crazy,
going to
no.
five schools.
It is crazy. I understand that. But I think that they're going to find other ways. Like, they're going to be other, like, people putting money into different things to get people to come to the schools. Like, when they start making salaries and the money they make is based on what the team can generate, that particular team, not even that whole school, but that team in the school can generate. I just think that – I understand what you're saying, but I think that's going to make it dirtier than it is
not only that, PJ, but that model creates a conflict of interest between the team and the school. The team and the school is attached.
Yeah, right.
They don't represent the same.
Yo,
yeah,
Jimmy
kinda,
had
it's kinda
last
like that.
Time we talked about it. Oh, go ahead,
Kel. I was going to say it's kind of like that anyway. Like at Howard, we would get, I think I told you this before, we would get on the road, we got $10 for each meal. So let's say for 2 days, we got $10 for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So they would give us $60 for those 2 days. Now, we didn't have to spend it on food. We could spend it on whatever we want. So we was getting, like, dollar menu food, and then going to the Gap because we didn't get a stipend. So that was the only extra money we got. Then what would happen is we would cats that qualify financially for the Pell Grant due to their income situation, they got the Pell Grant, and they used money. Other than that, that was it.
Hey, but have y'all seen
the
main gym at Howard? You notice I said gym and not arena. So – No program at Howard is generating any money, so $10 is about all you're going to get back in the 90s, brother. But,
I was going to say, I know a cat that played for UMass, and he was like, they got like $50 a meal. You see what I'm saying? Back in the early 90s.
So they really
when you look at the amount of money these schools generate off of these players, they have a system like where you have to go because you can't just go right to the league. And while you're here, we're going to make so much money off of you. We're going to basically pimp you, and then you can leave. I mean, it's ridiculous.
But,
I mean,
Jim, where do you value? All right, so you're saying you don't put any value into the education, into the like scholarship and all
that?
Because
these players don't. See,
they
here's
don't
the
even
thing.
Want
I
to
actually,
have it.
But
Jimmy, that's
actually
their
value
fault.
Education.
That's their fault.
Jimmy, now you're penalizing an immature mind and an uninformed mind. Yo, dude, these kids are 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. They have no concept of how
But you can't force it on them.
But you can force them to get into a profession and get an education. You can. Every other profession forces you to have an education. So how can NBA not? Every other profession forces you to have an education.
Because it's a free
market. You can't be a lawyer without an education.
No, but here's why, because it's two different professions. That's why, because you don't need a degree.
Right,
you don't need a law degree to play basketball professionally. If I'm
but,
an operator,
well,
singer,
I don't
need
a degree.
I'm
saying to be a lawyer, you still need an education.
But every profession doesn't need an education.
They don't need it, but if they make it. Go ahead, Brad.
No, the current system that you're talking about right now, plus looking at the model that you're talking about, contributes to us having episodes talking about 80% of the league is broke. So
right.
At least under my model, I'm not saying it's realistic, but at least you're forcing them to have some level of financial accountability and learning what they're going to face
Brad,
as they move on from
college. These kids have been conditioned. They've been conditioned, or as I like to say, they've been Pavlov since the age of 8, that, I'm playing basketball. They don't care about this. And by the time they get to this you can't force
going
them
to college,
care. That's what I'm saying.
Going to college and playing basketball or playing football, it's the same thing we said when we were talking about the combine. These dudes know what you got to do to get where you got to go. So, okay, you got to go play college ball for at least a year to get to this big money situation, then that's what you do. I don't think they should get paid for it. Now, also, like I said, with the Ed O'Bannon thing, I think when it comes to licensing, if you put my name on the back of a jersey and you selling a bunch of those jerseys, that dude should get paid.
But my thing is, anywhere
I don't think you should get paid just for playing.
Yo, we need to start a war room petition because I mean, I think some of y'all know I'm on like 5 video games
Yeah,
so we can use that for the
world. You need to get down with the Ed O'Bannon joint. You need to get part of the Ed O'Bannon joint,
but here's what I'm saying. This is America, right? When you have a talent, you should be able to capitalize on your talent. And if that talent doesn't necessarily need higher education, how can we force you? It's like you're trying to – if I don't want an education, I don't want an education. You can't force them to do this.
Jimmy, nobody's forcing them to go to college. They just said you can't come to the league until you're a year out of high school.
Right.
No,
You could be a great teacher, but you still can't just say you can be a great teacher. Like, say you're in college and you're a great teacher. But if you don't finish and get your degree, you might not be able to teach professionally because they say once you have a
Because that's
degree.
The way that profession is set up.
Right, so then why can't the NBA? But the basketball can say.
But basketball is not considered a professional. Like, when you're a professional basketball player, you don't need a degree. Yo, if I'm a master plumber and I'm the best plumber in the world, I don't need a degree. If I'm a opera singer, if I'm a tennis player, all I'm saying is I'm not – Dev, I understand that we're not forcing them to go to school.
But
this idea, this idea of putting stock in a degree that means nothing to them. We want to put our beliefs – like, I mean, I have multiple degrees, so I believe in a college education, but I can't force a kid to have the same beliefs I do. It's just – that's not the American way. The American way is free market.
You can, but at the same time, it's the discretion of the profession. It's under the discretion of the profession,
So you want to make
like,
it
you
so
should,
you
might
a
be
degree,
a good litigator. You can't be a lawyer until you pass the bar. Like,
so you
Jimmy, is where you're losing sight of the intention of the university. The higher education and attaching sports and then attaching revenue to it, those are conflicting interests. So at the very minimum, you have to have a system that contributes some level of education or else you're in total conflict. That's why the system as it
is
now
That sounds good on paper. That sounds good on paper, but I know people that have went to play college ball that haven't been to a class before. That's a joke.
What about high school ball? Do you think – what if Central Games was selling out back when we played? What if Central Games was selling out? We had to play at the First Union at the time because so many people wanted to come to our games. And a lot of the money and the revenue from the tickets was going to Central. By the way,
PJ, that's the way high school basketball is going because if y'all notice, over the last, I'd say, 7 years since LeBron – and Oak Hill Academy got on TV. Now you see all these high school games on TV. So it's going in that direction.
Right, yeah, therefore education first. That's what you're supposed to be. There's going to be money that generated, but you're supposed to be – you're at a university. So you're supposed to be there for an education. I mean, basketball is essentially, no matter what, it's still extracurricular. Regardless of what – you're at a university and you're playing a sport, the sport is still extracurricular. So your curriculum is to actually go to school and do –
Here's the thing. They make tons of money from it. I believe in you just let the market do what it's going to do. And if you fall on your face, you fall on your face. If I'm an 8-year-old prodigy and I can sing, I want to get paid, yo. That's the way America's built, yo, on talent.
You're right.
The NCAA is taking advantage of this.
I agree.
You had before when you were saying they need to invest more money in minor leagues. Like, the NBDL needs to be expanded for basketball.
That's an idea I had because that actually helps my idea.
Let's talk real quick. What about the big money Ed situation? So I got a question for y'all because I honestly don't know this rule. So I got a little cousin, right, and he plays for Ohio State on the football team. And I'm an established professional. And, you know, we live in L.A. He's from L.A., but he's in Ohio State. So I want to pay for him to come home and give him some money when he gets home because that's my little cousin. I want to look out for him. Is that violation? Like, for instance, say I'm his god brother. Okay, so, yeah, that's why I wasn't sure. So what if
you
I
know
say
what,
he's, like,
that?
My
– If you flew his teammate home, too, then that would be a violation.
That's how Bill Walton – remember that story we always talk about with Bill Walton when he gave
Luke the tickets to the finals, and he took Richard Jefferson with him, and Richard Jefferson, when they was in Arizona, they know Luke Walton's people got money. So I guess if you could,
yeah, it's sort of like
your real little
Marcus,
cousin.
Well,
Yeah, remember Marcus Vick was at Virginia Tech, and Marcus Vick, like, had everything he wanted because Mike was already in the league.
Yeah,
because
Mike was in the league. So if it's your family, straight.
But, Dev, Dev.
But
Dev,
I can't do it for you. Double A probably give you blood tests. Can't be like your little
baby. DNA test, they can get saliva samples and all.
Hey, Dev, I want to go over what you just said, Dev, before we get off here. What I was thinking is, like, because I said I believe in a free market. I don't – this whole education thing, I agree with higher education. We all have degrees. I just don't think you should force someone to do it. So my suggestion was invest money into the minor leagues, and I think Nairan in the chat room is agreeing with me. He said the same thing. So, therefore, kids don't have to necessarily go to school unless the ones that want to go to school can. But they can go right to being in the minor leagues. You know what I mean?
I,
so
I agree with
money,
that. Oh, right.
But here's
right.
the thing. The NBA for years has already had college basketball as sort of their minor league without having to front the bill. That's the whole
right.
thing. It all goes back to money. They don't have to front the bill. College is on TV, so these guys become big-time stars, and the NBA is not putting a dime up for it.
But it's a mutually beneficial system, so you have to at some point try and regulate that system. To expect the NBA, okay, to foot the bill when its partner, which is the NCAA, is making billions of dollars as well, it's a mutually beneficial system. So now you say the system is in place, but you can tweak the system so that there's more benefit to the players that are coming through it. So it's not just an exploitation thing. I have a business, and looking at my clients, it's teaching them the difference between being exploited and teaching them how to capitalize on what their talent is and leverage their talent. At this point, it's exploitation. And you're saying, well, since it's a free market system, let them get exploited. It's their choice to be exploited. Come on, man. What is the decision making
process? That's not what I said at all, fam. Yo, what I said is the NBA needs to invest the money because they're not really partners. Because when they asked Stern about the NCAA, he's like, we have our own problems. I can't think about their problems at this point.
No, they're not partners.
They're not partners on paper, but they're partners in essence because the NBA benefits from the NCAA, them having a farm system, as you said, and not having to invest money in it.
But
the NCAA benefits because of the TV rights and the athletes they have.
The top players, it's not like they're not getting anything out of this. Like, the top players that generate all the revenue for the colleges, this is where they go to leverage their talent so they can make it to the NBA. The NBA is watching. The money is at the end of the tunnel unless, of course, you get injured.
Yo, but the thing is, before the one-year rule, they went number one in the draft anyway. So it's like, you can say that,
but that's a whole different issue.
That's a whole different issue. But in terms of being exploited, that one-year college ain't doing them no good. Yo,
the rule doesn't say you have to go to college for 1 year. It just says you can't come to my league for a year.
I understand that. But nobody wants to go play in Europe.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, this is why I'm going to go to the NCAA. I'm going to get paid anyway because they're getting paid, whether people want to admit it or not. I'm going to get paid and I'm going to go bounce.
I'm going to get my money in.
My whole thing, Brad, is the NBA should invest money into its minor league. So instead of them having to go to college and make a mockery out of higher education, they can go to the minor leagues and work their way up.
That's the solution. But like you said, the NBA ain't really trying to spend no more money. They already complaining.
That's a solution.
Yo, in the D League, Antoine Walker was on the four letters complaining about it. He said in the D League, these jokers making like $18,000 a year. He said people can't eat off that.
He's right, but he got a nerve to be talking about
people can't eat off no money. As much money he done blew, but that's a whole different thing.
You're making like $18,000-$20,000 as a 17-year-old out of high school. You cool.
I totally agree that the minor league farm system is the solution, but it's two different issues. You can go to the NBA. We can discuss the NBA and say that's a solution because we're talking about the NBA. The minor league system has nothing to do with the NCAA. So we're talking about a problem that's in the NCAA.
Yeah, but part of the problem is players making this one-year pit stop. And I think they're making a mockery out of higher education. Now, I believe in higher education. To me, I get offended that they treat these degrees like a joke. It doesn't mean anything to them. So why force them to be a student when they're not students?
All right, sign us out, Jim. Sign us out.
Yeah. Yeah. And Caps don't even take the SAT. Shout out to Derrick Rose. Yo, thanks as usual, everybody, for joining us in the war room this evening. We hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Special thanks to all the callers and chat room peeps who added their fun for this evening. Check us out next week, same time, same place, and for another episode for the best show in the universe. We'll get you caught up on all the big stories in the week of sports. We'll be doing a special edition at HOF or FOH surrounding perceived cheaters in baseball. Tune in next week. And until then, holler at me on Twitter and Facebook and go to facebook.com/warroomsports.
In a mahogany, black scenery, that was lightning and raindrops. I'm tied up in a basement cocaine spot like Bangkok. I'm blindfold, Vietnam type, mind control is torture. His accent sounds like the rarest culture. Asking me, my action be stabbing me gradually. Says his attribute was satanic, masonic, ironic. I felt reminded of my fast life ventures and winters. Blinded to the flashlight enters.
Yo, done. Before the sun set, call connect, get all the text. I'm vexed, this nigga soft as sex, lost respect, let's off his neck, my caliber. Got me thinking on a higher algebra. See me, I'm just a phallager, but you ain't got no stallion. I'm in the bigger cheddar, G's and better, armor betters, Armani sweaters, plus these crabs can never dead us. More money, more murder, more homicide. You catch that body, nigga, better have that alibi. You never know, it might just be your time. You take your ride to the pearly white gates, watch that suicide. More money, more murder, more homicide. You catch that body, nigga, better have that alibi. You never know, it might just be your time. You take your ride to the pearly white gates, watch that suicide. Now government official, got you sipping Cristal and Crystal. You fish, you foul, so you fell and took your fam with you. I'm out to get you. Guaranteed every shell will hit you. Plus I'm on some shit too. Laying down, who's ever with you? Mafiosa, the New York City 90s ever so AZ. You know my culture now. My wolves is out to ghost ya.
Center of a rose on a graveyard. For real now, the stakes is up a half a mil now. I tried to grab him with his shield down, but walked in a crazy paid up, sharp and straight up. Gators from Barbados, never seen nobody play those. Lalo's what they called them. His head bald and sipping cappuccino spilled in the silk suits with skulls and laugh was vulgar. Canvas paintings of the Isotola, and on his arm he wore a priceless vulture. Tobacco pipe smoker, Escobar, your life is over. Justify the righteous Nova. Bullets flew out his right shoulder, corpse leaving a foul odor. The firm volume one adjourned, bring it to a closure.
More money, more murder, more homicide. You catch that body, nigga, better have that alibi. You never know, it might just be your time. You take your ride to the pearly white gate, now watch that suicide.